Can we give it up for Pastor Marlon and Michelle here from our Wycliffe campus tonight? I just want to honor you guys, say thank you for being here. You bring so much strength and just, man, security. Security to this whole room. Your anointing fills the place when you walk in, and so I'm just so blessed and honored to have you here. Pastor Marlon's like a pro, man. He walked in, he's like, oh, I'm not doing what I prepared all day to do? Cool, I got this. Thank you. And I understand that that's not easy. That's not an easy thing to do. So God bless you and thank you for that. Can we just invite the Holy Spirit to move right now through this word? Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, move. Baruch Hava Bashem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes. Baruch Hava Vashem Adonai, who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch Hava Vashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes. Baruch Hava Vashem Adonai, who comes in the name of the Lord. Holy Spirit, move tonight. Less of me and more of you. None of me and all of you. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. When we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he's getting ready to be taken away and be crucified, we see him go to the garden with his disciples. He tells his disciples to stay awake. He asks them, hey, could you please just stay awake with me for a while? Because he knew what was coming. He knew what was about to happen. And the title of my message tonight is, It Is Finished. But he knew what was about to happen. He knew what was about to occur. He knew the beating that he was about to bear for the sake of humanity. The beating that he didn't deserve. The beating that he did nothing to deserve. He knew what was about to happen, and he asked his disciples, he said, hey, can you come with me and just stay awake? Keep watch. Keep watch. In Matthew 26, verse 41, he asked them to please keep watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went and he consulted the Lord, and he said, Lord, please, if there's another way, if there's another way for humanity to be saved, if there's another way for people's sins to be paid for, God, please allow there to be a different way. That I don't want to take this cup, Lord. If there's another way for me to save these people without having to do this, God, please, please make a way. But if there's not, if there is no other way, if there is no way around this, if there is no other answer, if there is no other way for this to happen, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. And so Jesus went back to the disciples after consulting the Lord, and they were asleep. He said, guys, please, please, can't you just stay up? Can't you just stay with me for an hour? Can't you just sacrifice a little bit of your comfort? Can't you just keep watch and pray so you don't fall into the temptation? This happened 3 times. He went back and asked the Lord, God, please, if there is another way, but if not, your will be done. And each time he came back, the disciples were sleeping. And that's a word for us tonight, church. Matthew, in Matthew 26, 41, he says, keep watch and pray so you do not fall into temptation. Why? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Church, your spirit is willing. Your spirit is willing. Don't let the world tell you it's not possible.
Let the world tell you that this isn't important, that Good Friday means nothing, that Resurrection Sunday is too radical for this world, for this culture, that going to church more than once a month is important, getting your kids plugged into a ministry is important. It's not too radical. Your spirit is willing. Your spirit is willing to run up to the altar and raise your hands. Believe me, I didn't want to be the person at the altar looking weird, worshiping. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I would rather be in the face of the one who died for me than try to worry about how I feel sitting in the back. It doesn't matter. I don't care about comfort. And that's what the Lord was saying. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. Keep watch and pray. Put yourself in this word. Root yourself in me so that you don't fall into the temptation of making yourself feel good at every single turn. That's okay if you're nervous. Go past it. That's okay if you're insecure. Nail it to the cross and get up there. I understand. But Jesus is saying your spirit is willing. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. So if you're controlled by your flesh, if you're a slave to your own desires, break those chains tonight in Jesus' name. Break those chains tonight in Jesus' name. I pray that every person in this room will experience freedom in a new way tonight. From the brand new Christian to the first time person to the person who's been serving the Lord for 50 plus years, tonight is a night where you will experience freedom in Jesus' name in a new way. He came back to his disciples the third time and found them sleeping. He said, wake up. It's time. It's time. And they took him. They took him. And the process began. The process began of him being humiliated. It says the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of the time, blindfolded him, mocked him, spit on him. Begin to call him names, taunt him, ask him to cast them down or ask him to perform a miracle or give him a prophecy. They beat him over the head with a club. They took him before Pilate. And during that time of the Passover, it was tradition in the Roman Empire to release a prisoner. They brought forth a prisoner named Barabbas who was a murderer. He was a murderer. He was rebellious. He started rebellions. They brought him forward and put him up against Jesus. They said, would you like to exchange him for the Lord and Savior? And the religious leaders at the time, they screamed out, release him. Release the murderer. And so Jesus took the place. Jesus took the place of the one who deserved death. Same way that he took the place of us. When he took that place for Barabbas on that day, it was representing what he was getting ready to do by being crucified, because we are not Jesus in that story. We're the one that is covered in sin. We are the people that are covered in sin. We are the people that treat this like a tradition more than it is a true following of the Lord. We are the people who don't console him, who don't consult him, who don't wake up and read his word, who don't speak to him daily, who hurt people. That's us. And we live in a world of sin, but he paid for it. And when he took that place of Barabbas that day, he stood in the place of a sinner. He represented what he was getting ready to do for you and I, church. He said, this is what I'm getting ready to do. You deserve to be nailed to that cross. I've done nothing, but I'm going to take your place for you. You go free. They begin to beat Jesus. They put a crown of thorns on his head, blood running down his face. They took a whip with pieces of metal and glass and stone tied into it and whipped his back, tearing flesh, tearing his face, eyes, his hands, his legs. They hit him 39 times to the point where you couldn't even recognize him. To the point where you couldn't even recognize him. In Isaiah 52, in Isaiah 52, verse 14, It describes the sight of how Jesus looked. It describes the sight of how he looked after the beating. He said, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Couldn't even recognize him. They beat him so bad. Tore the flesh off of his body. He took it. Says that when Jesus went on the cross, his mother couldn't even recognize him. His own mother had to ask, which one is he? I can't even recognize his face anymore. After they beat him, they instructed Jesus to pick up his cross and begin his walk. To the mountain of Golgotha, to begin his walk to be crucified after his body had been torn to shreds. And I want us to look at this verse in Hebrews 12. Because, church, this is what the Lord is telling us. And I want us to look at this because it's so beautiful. But it says, for the joy set before, or fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It doesn't say that he loved the cross. It doesn't say that he took joy in doing this. It doesn't say that he took joy in carrying his cross. It doesn't say he was excited. It said he scorned the cross. But for the joy set before him. But for the joy set before him. Church, you are the joy. You are the joy set before him, that he endured it. That's why he endured this beating. That's why he picked up that cross after his back was torn to shreds, after a thorn crown was placed on his head, blood dripping down his face. He picked up the cross and said, you are the joy set before me. You're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth every single whip. You are worth every single step. You are worth every single moment of enduring this thing that I scorned, this thing that I didn't deserve, this thing that I didn't deserve to die for. You were worth it. You were worth it. The verse goes on to say, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, church. Consider him. Consider that so that you don't get tired, so that you don't start treating this like a storybook, so you don't start treating these gatherings as routine, you don't start treating worship being lifted up to heaven as something that didn't cost anything, that you don't start treating your freedom like it was free. Consider him who saw you worth it. Who saw you worth every single step? Consider him. Because he said, you are the joy set before me. I scorn it, but you are worth it. He looked through eternity. He looked through time. He looked through all that was going to happen. And he said, I know on that night, the end of March in 2024, you're going to be there. And you're going to experience freedom. You're going to experience freedom in a new way that I'm paying for right now. As he took those steps carrying that cross, he said, I'm looking at you and you're going to experience that freedom. I'm paying for it right now. I'm paying for it right now. He made his way to the cross. Made his way up the Mount of Golgotha. They nailed his hands and his feet. And at that time, crucifixion wasn't a death just for anybody. Crucifixion was for the lowest of the low, the worst type of criminal. And not even if you did a crime, you had to be a lower status of citizen to even be considered to be crucified. The lowest form of death he was put on. They nailed his hands and his feet to the point where he couldn't even breathe without straining his whole body. He had to strain his body to be able to breathe because of the way he was nailed. So the excruciating pain that he had to experience just to be able to take a breath, just to be able to breathe, They put him up on that cross. And I want us to look back at Genesis, in Genesis 3. And I know that's not really a Good Friday book, you might say, but Jesus is so amazing and God is so good that, you know, he speaks into eternity. He speaks into eternity, and when he speaks his word and when his will is expressed, it is in respect to all things. Everybody say all things. All things. His word, his will is eternal, and it is in respect to all things, not just the thing that you're going through today, not just the thing that happened 6,000 years ago. He's speaking in eternal terms, and when the Lord speaks, it is so. The Lord that said, let there be light, and it was light. When he speaks, it is so. So when the Lord says something, it is eternal, and we have to treat it as such. A lot of times we like to think in successive revolutions, like, Jesus, can you speak over my current situation? Lord, can you speak over this new thing? And we act like he's going to say a new command. When we know in Romans 8:28, he said he works what? All things. All things together for the good of those who believe. And so when he speaks, it applies to everything. You are the one who has to step into alignment with his truth. When we do that, we blaspheme the Lord and we act like he's waiting for something else to happen, to gain more wisdom, to speak a new word. And we act like he's waiting for something within our small little time when he's the Alpha and Omega and he knows the beginning and the end. So this isn't some off the whim, oh, let me just say something new. And so that's why I want to point back to Genesis 3:15, because when the serpent tricked Eve and Adam, this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This is called the proto-evangelium. It's the first mention of the gospel in the Bible. Page 2, it started pointing to Jesus. Page 2, it started pointing to Jesus. Because we fast forward and we see in Isaiah, we see in Isaiah, he talks about the root of Jesse. He says, from the root of Jesse, a branch will come. A branch will come and he will be our savior. And when he said that prophecy from the root of Jesse, he's talking about King David. And we know King David, he killed Goliath and he put his heel on the head of that giant and cut his head off. He put his heel on the head of the giant, the head of the snake, and cut it off. He then took the head of the giant and buried it in a mountain on a hill called Golgotha. And then from the root of Jesse, from the bloodline of David, our Savior Jesus was born. And when he carried that cross up the hill of Golgotha, the mountain of the skull, if you go to Jerusalem today, that's what it's referred to as. It's the mountain of the skull where Goliath's head is. When they nailed Jesus to that cross, when they put his heel onto the cross and they put that cross into that skull that was under his feet, he fulfilled the prophecy from Genesis 3. He fulfilled the prophecy of Genesis 3 because his foot crushed the head of that devil. His foot crushed the head of Goliath. He stood on his head like this, suspended. His blood going down. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled that promise. His heel crushed the head of the devil, and it does to this day. Because that applies forever. It's an eternal decree. It's an eternal decree. It's called the proto-evangelium. And I just want us to read Isaiah 53. Because I want us to read how Isaiah talked about what was to come. He talked about what was happening, what was getting ready to happen, and how the Lord was going to come and be our Savior. And when we get through this, after we get through 53, I want us to take communion together. But in Isaiah 53, it says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God. Stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. This is truth that applies to you today. Receive it right now. Receive that right now in Jesus' name. Receive it right now in Jesus' name. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that bought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet, who of this generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify man, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Church, he has poured out his life unto death for you. He stepped in and interceded on your behalf. He was sent as the Word made flesh, the Son of God, living a life pure from sin, the pioneer who left us the blueprint on how we ought to live. He lived a sinless, blameless life, and he was sent here to intercede on your behalf. He was sent here to step in to the place where you should have got the wages of sin, which are death. And he said, I will step in and pay for the justification of many. I will step in and pay for the justification of everybody here. Yes. Thank you. We say, Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. I want to ask the people to bring the communion forward, and we're going to get ready to take communion tonight. But as we take communion tonight, I don't want us to treat this as some routine. I don't want us to treat this as a tradition. I want you to have a moment of intimacy with the Lord. I want you to have a moment of koinonia with the Lord. Koinonia means fellowship, but furthermore, it means intimacy with him. And as we take communion together as a family tonight, I want us to have a moment where we say, Jesus, here I am. Lord, I want this moment not to be some tradition. I don't want this moment to be out of routine just because it's Good Friday, God. I want to have an intimate moment with you, Lord. I want to have an intimate moment with you, Jesus. As I take this, as I do this holy sacrament, God, I want to be with you. I want you to search me. I want to see you. We say, Jesus, come right now, Lord. We say, Jesus, Baruch Haba, Hashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You are holy. So I want to invite everybody to stand. I want to invite everyone to stand. And with every eye closed right now, I just want you to begin to speak to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to hear your voice tonight. I want to hear your voice tonight, Jesus. I want to experience freedom tonight. I don't care how many of these services I've been in. I want to experience freedom in a new way tonight. Say, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you, God. Say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch Hava Hashem Adonai. We repent, God, as treating you less than. We repent, God, for treating you less than anything other than everything. God, you are our everything. If anybody in this room tonight has never given their heart to the Lord, this is the perfect time. Because he's already done it for you. He's already given everything for you. He's already given every single thing for you. But he wants to do so much more with you. So if that's you tonight, if it's your first time and you say, I need to dedicate my life to God. I want to live the life for him. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I just want you to pray it out. Say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life. I acknowledge that you are my Savior. I acknowledge that you died for me. I acknowledge that you paid the ultimate price for my salvation. Lord, wash me clean. Make me new. Make me new again, God. Make me new again, Jesus. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I honor you and I bless your holy name. Amen. So tonight, as we get ready to take our communion, everybody that's holding the plate, could you guys just step closer? Because I want everybody to be able to grab and then come forward. So we're going to have a moment with Jesus tonight. So you can start to make your way this way. Once you grab your elements, come forward, please. Because we're just going to spend a moment in his presence. So yeah, just make your way. There's room on the sides. There's room up front. Grab your elements and please come forward because we're just going to get in Jesus' face for a second. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, there's room up here. There's room up here. Experience Jesus right now. Don't try to be cool. Don't be insecure. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's no room for anything else. So allow him to lead you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Ty, I see our mat. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Let me get one. Thank you, thank you. Yep, appreciate it. You know, Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians. He said, you know, if you're taking communion and you don't discern how holy it is, you're literally drinking death upon yourself. So that's why a lot of you are asleep and sick. That's what he wrote. So before we do this, I just want us to close our eyes and feel the weight of what this actually means. If you've taken communion before and you're like, man, I just do this out of routine, I want you to repent right now because that was me. Jesus, please give us discernment right now, Holy Spirit. Fill this room with discernment right now. To recognize that this is holy koinonia with you in this moment. that this is a holy moment right now, and that what we hold in our hands is aligning us physically with the will of your Spirit, God. Holy Spirit, we repent for treating this as routine. We repent for treating this as a tradition. And we recognize right now in our spirit that this is a holy moment with you. God, it is our desire to have a holy moment of koinonia with you right now. We want to have a moment with intimacy with you right now. This might be hard, but say, Lord, search me right now. Search me right now. Anything that is not of you, get rid of it. Any chain that I've been holding on to, Holy Spirit, break it off right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we take this bread and we recognize that it represents the body that was broken. It represents the body that was broken on that day, on that Good Friday, Lord. That the stripes that were upon your back, that the crown of thorns that was drove into your head, that the nails that were put in your wrists and feet, God, paid the price. Your body paid the price for our sin. And Lord, we repent. And we ask that you would pull us in right now. Pull us in, Holy Spirit. Fill us with such a desire to be close to you, God, so that we can walk in confidence of your will, so we don't add to the sin that you already paid for. Lord, we recognize this and we take this body right now and we break this bread and partake in remembrance of you. Thank you, Jesus. Let him move over you for a second. We hold this cup in our hand. We say, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood that was spilled. The proactive power of the blood that was spilled. The blood that washes us clean. The blood that makes us new. The blood that makes us whole. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over this room right now. We plead the blood of Jesus over each and every person in this room right now. I pray that they will be a vessel unto you, God, that they will walk in the fullness of you, that they will walk in the understanding that they are covered by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the power of the blood of Jesus that was spilled on that day while he hung on that cross, when he crushed the head of the snake, when he crushed the head of our enemy, when he was pierced for our transgression, when he was bruised for our iniquities, God. I pray the blood of Jesus over every person in this room, that they walk with the authority, that they walk with the audacity of heaven that says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Jesus, allow them to walk with the confidence of knowing that through you they can do all things. Jesus, we recognize this cup as the holy blood that was spilled. The holy blood that was spilled for us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for its power. The power that is eternal, that paid for our sins, that paid for the sins of yesterday and will pay for the sins of tomorrow. We thank you, Lord. We partake of the cup together in Jesus' name. the Spirit move over you. Have an intimate moment with Jesus right now. If you want to experience freedom right now, if it may be in your soul right now, just begin to speak it out. Say, Jesus, give me freedom in you. Give me freedom in you right now. And as you begin to experience, I just want you to lift your hands to heaven. As you begin to experience the freedom of the Spirit, just lift your hands to heaven. Just begin to raise your hands to heaven and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. If you haven't, continue to cry out. Say, Lord, I want to experience you right now. I want to experience you right now. I don't care about who's around me. I don't care about what I walked in here dealing with. I need you right now, Jesus. I need you right now. I need to talk to you right now. I need you in my life right now, Lord. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, He is bigger than that right now. So as you begin to experience that freedom, just begin to lift your hands. Begin to worship His holy name together as a family. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, that out, church.
I'll never know how much it costs to see myself upon
the I plead the blood of Jesus over insecurity right now.
You paid it all.
Spirit is speaking over you right now. He's saying you're not perfect, but you're not your mistakes. And you are worth every single slash on his back. You are worth every single slash on his back. You are worth every single step that he took carrying that cross. You are worth every single excruciating breath that he took while he was hanging on that cross. You are the joy set before him that kept him going to fulfill the eternal will of the Lord. Like he told the disciples on that night, he said, keep watch and pray. Keep watch and pray, church, so that you do not fall into temptation, so that you don't fall asleep. So in Jesus' name, I just pray that a desire will fall over this room to get closer to you, God, each and every day. That a desire will fall over this room, Lord, that will transform hearts and that they will crave you above all else, God. Allow us to be strengthened in our faith, Lord. Allow us to mature in our faith, Jesus. Allow us to keep watch and pray, Lord. Allow us to deny our flesh the same way you did on that day, and allow us to yield to our Lord and Savior and say, your will be done. Your will be done in our lives, God. I pray such an anointing will fall over this room. I pray that such an anointing will fall over each person here today. God, that they will be such strong vessels of light that when they walk into rooms, the darkness must flee. When the light switch turns on, the darkness must run in Jesus' name. I pray that they will walk into their family gatherings, that they will walk into their workplaces, that they will walk into their schools, God, and the spirits of this world will have to flee in Jesus' name. That the light that they carry will transform their families, that will restore relationships, that will break addiction. It will break chains, God. It will transform school systems, Jesus. That workplaces won't look the same, God. That conversations won't sound the same anymore, Jesus. Because we will carry your anointing so well in Jesus' name. I pray that over this room, God. And I pray over Northeast Ohio, God, that the people before you that are crying out to you, Lord, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that we will see you move in this region, in Northeast Ohio, in Cleveland, God, that we will see you move, Jesus, that the freedom we experience will not just be for us, but it will be for us to go out and share and bring as many souls to heaven as we possibly can. Lord, I thank you for this moment we've had with you tonight. I thank you for freedom, and I thank you for joy. Oh, what a beautiful contrast. sadness of what you bore, but the freedom that it paid for. What a beautiful contrast, Lord, that you would give your life up for a sinner like me. Let's begin to say thank you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you've never been to a Cleveland service before, we don't end worship sets and times with the Lord in a somber manner. So what I want you to do right now is begin to lift your voice. Begin to lift your voice to the Lord right now, to make a joyful noise of freedom right now, to make a joyful noise of freedom right now, and say, thank you, Lord. Tonight, begin to lift your voice. Lift your voice. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the price that was paid. Thank you for every drop of blood, God. Thank you for your body that was broken. Thank you for taking the place of me. Jesus, thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hey! Amen. I want to say thank you for being here tonight. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. We'll see you on Resurrection Sunday. God bless you.